Well, good evening, and it's good to have fellowship together. We know that Russia is very much in the news, as it's making perhaps a few threats upon the Ukraine. So we thought together we would look at Ezekiel 38 and chapter 39. Ezekiel 38, whether you get into chapter 39, we'll have to see. Might quote from it. So let's look at the first few verses of Ezekiel 38. And giving you a little time to find Ezekiel 38. And I'll read the first 17 verses of Ezekiel 38. First 17 verses. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog of the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. I will turn you around, put hooks in your jaws, and lead you out. That's rather different than if you got the authorized. With all your army, horses, and horsemen, all splendidly clothed, a great company, with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya are with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all its troops. The house of Togarma from the far north and all its troops, many people are with you. Prepare yourself and be ready, you and all your companies that are gathered about you, and be a guard for them. After many days, you will be visited in the latter years. You will come into the land of those brought back from the sword, that's Israel, and gather from many people on the mountains of Israel, which have long been desolate. They were brought out of the nations, and now all of them dwell safely. You will ascend, coming like a storm, covering the land like a cloud, you and all your troops, and many peoples with you. Thus says the Lord God, On that day it shall come to pass, the thoughts will rise in your mind, and you will make an evil plan. You will say, I will go up against the land of unwalled villages. I will go to a peaceful people who dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take plunder and to take booty, to stretch out your hand against the waste places that are again inhabited and against the people gathered from the nations who have acquired livestock and goods who dwell in the midst of the land. Sheba and Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish, and all their young lions will say to you, Have you come to take plunder? Have you gathered your army to take booty? Carry away silver and gold, take away livestock and goods, and to take great plunder. Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say to Gog, Thus says the Lord God, Oh, that on that day when my people Israel dwell safely, and you will not know it, then you will come from your place out of the far north, you and your peoples with you, many peoples with you, all of them riding on horses, a great company and a mighty army. You will come up against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. It will be in the latter days that I will bring you against my land, so that the nations may know me when I am hallowed in you, O Gog, before their eyes. Thus saith the Lord God, Are you he of whom I have spoken in former days by my servants and prophets of Israel, who prophesied for years, in those days that I would bring you against them? Well, a reasonably long reading, but I thought it might be valuable to look at that. Well, this is the Gog and Magog war. It goes on into chapter 39 also. The source, of course, for all this is the Bible. Its sequence of events we shall see. And the scene is very much focused on Israel and Russia and those who join with Russia. And when will it happen? Well, it says in the latter days. Now, in those earlier chapters, 33 to 37, we know that God has spoken of blessings upon the nation of Israel. Israel has settled in the land, transformed it to a good measure of prosperity, as we know today. And yet, when we come to these chapters 38 and 39, it's a very different picture. It's a picture of hostile nations against Israel. Now, Israel, of course, is very much surrounded by enemies. We know that. And Russia, in the past, has been nicknamed the bear. And so the bear will arouse itself in the days to come and will plan to lacerate Israel with its claws. Well, the free world, like ourselves, will look on, but they won't do anything about that. So Russia, where these few nations we look at, will come and attack. And if you look in chapter 38 with me and look at verse 6, it says, among other nations, Gomer and all its troops, the house of Togarma, that's Turkey, from the far north. From the far north, it says. All of its troops, many people are with you. From the far north, well, if you look at a modern map today, you'll find that Moscow and Russia is exactly due north of Jerusalem and Israel. You check that out on a map, you'll find it so. So the nations will not take any notice. Now, many years ago, of course, Russia invaded Czechoslovakia and also Hungary, 1968-56. But the nations of the world and the free West Europe did nothing about it. And I think that when that happens again, when Russia plans to attack Israel, again, the nations of the West will do nothing about it at all. Now, if you look in verse 6 again, you'll find, as I have it here, and of course in the Amplified Bible as well, it says, coming from the far north, I'm reading the New King James Version, from the far north. Well, we know that, of course, is Russia. And in chapter 39, verse 2, it's the same. And so Russia and Moscow, due north of Israel and Jerusalem. Now, you can imagine this. Can you think of David and Goliath way back in the Old Testament? David was a stripling of a boy coming against the huge giant of the Philistines, Goliath. But we know who won. God won. And David, with the strength of the Lord, was able to bring Goliath down. So we have here from the extreme north, which is Russia, coming down to attack Israel. Now notice in verse 18 of chapter 38. Would you look at that for a moment? Chapter 38, 18. We didn't read it, but here's the verse. It will come to pass at the same time when Gog comes against the land of Israel, says the Lord God, that my fury will show in my face. God is angry with that particular nation and its godless communism, shall we say, coming to attack God's people, and they're still God's nation, though they're far from him, of course. And they come from the extreme and utter parts of the north to attack. Now, we know that very well. And it says, the Lord is angry. His fury will come up in his face. So the bear, Russia, will endeavor to come and attack Israel, but the carcass of the bear will be left destroyed in the land and the mountains of Israel. It's going to take a long time to bury the dead and to handle all the dead. We'll see that a bit later on, if we get time. It says in, well, let's do it now. Look in chapter 39. Well, I mentioned it, chapter 39 and verse 12. Would you look at that? Chapter 39, verse 12. For 7 months, the house of Israel will be burying the dead. Those who perished from Russia to attack Israel. 7 months to bury the dead. Wow. And people of the land will be burying them, you see. Verse 13, to cleanse the land. And that's going to take some time. And look in verse 12. For 7 months, the house of Israel will be burying them. And they will take all that time to do that. And the Lord will be glorified, as in verse 13. So that's going to take some time, isn't it, to do all that. So, yes, God is very angry with the nations. And it says in chapter 39, verse 9, you'll find it says there, that those who dwell in the cities of Israel will go out and set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and bucklers, bows and arrows, javelins and spears. They will make fires with them for 7 years. Now, just hang on, just wait a minute. How can you burn metal? Well, there won't be metal. In Russia, there is a very, very hard wood. It's called lignocite. And that hardwood, in fact, can resist armor-piercing bullets, etc. And that's what, in a sense, will be used. So these are from the uttermost parts of the north coming to attack. And it takes 7 years to burn the weapons, and they're going to be made of wood. Russia has been experimenting over decades. Lignosite. It's an extremely hard wood, as I've said, and is capable of resisting armor-piercing shells. But lignosite will burn. And with all the destruction of the land, with all their weapons made of wood, lignosite, and Ezekiel was told this 2,600 plus years ago. Now, in a sense, where are these countries? Let's look at those scriptures again in chapter 38. We may not have time to read chapter 39. In chapter 38, verse 2, you've got Gog in the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. Now, what are these places? Well, in that verse 3, we've got there, thus says the Lord God, I'm against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. Well, just where are they? Well, you can go back, I won't do it now, but in Genesis 10 and verse 2, you'll find the names there of Magog, Tubal, and Meshach, and they're the grandsons of Noah, the sons of Japheth, who occupied Europe as we know it today. So the people of Magog descend from the family of Magog. And going back into history, the ancient Scythians descended from Magog, and today these people live in the parts of Russia, north of the Caucasian Mountains. And bear that in mind, we're focusing, of course, on Russia as well. And history books tell us that the Scythians took place and lived in modern Russia. So the phrase Gog and Magog as a phrase symbolizes cruel and brutal enemies. Now, these are also mentioned in Revelation 20, verse 8, which is after the millennium, when the Lord comes to fight the enemies, and he calls them Gog and Magog. They're fierce enemies. And Gog means a head of or leader of a people and the country, which is Magog. So Gog means a head or emperor, and Magog is the country. Now, there was a Greek historian in the 5th century BC, and he did some work on this, and he found that Meshach was also the Muscovites. Meshach, the Muscovites were the people, and they lived up in that area we now know as Russia. Josephus, who, as you know, is a Jewish historian in the first century, he said that the people of that day, the Muscovi and Thobelites, they descended from Meshach, Tubal, and Magog from Genesis 10, of course. That's another thing. And Jacinus, who was a Hebrew scholar many years ago, he said, that was the 19th century, he said that Meshach founded the barbarous and cruel people called the Moschi, M-O-S-C-H-I, derived from the Hebrew word Meshach. And the Greek word Moschi is the present city of Moscow. So Moscow is the European capital in the west of Russia, and Tobolsk is the capital of Siberia on the east side of Russia. So you've got Moscow in the west, you've got Tobolsk in the east, and that is the Asiatic capital of Russia. It's that big. You check on a map, it's wide, many time zones there. Now, the Hebrew word Rosh is in the Revised Bible and the Amplified Bible, but in the Authorized, you'll find in the Authorized Bible, it's changed to Prince. And really, it's the same thing. It means ahead. And that's important to realize that. This man, Jacinius, he said that Rosh was the designation for the tribes living around the river Volga, which, of course, is Russia. And that's how it is. So these people, in chapter 38, looking at that in verse 4, this is the Lord saying, the Lord speaking, I will turn you around and put hooks in your jaws lead you out, and he's going to drag them down with those other nations of Iran in verse 5, with Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya also with them. And Gomer, now Gomer is Eastern Europe, Germany, yes, possibly further west, east than that, maybe Austria, we're not sure. But Togarma is Turkey, Armenia. So those are the nations that are going to come and attack Israel by name. Now, I may have a chance, if not tonight, next week, to see that this is not Armageddon. I'll just say this one thing. Here is a few named nations coming against Israel. There's no mention of Antichrist here. When you come to Armageddon, Antichrist leads all the nations against Israel. So this is not the period of Armageddon before the second coming of Christ. No, this is what's going to happen. Well, we don't know when. Sometime, I think, in the near future. I think that's true. So these other nations join modern Russia. And one has to take notice that this is what is all there today. So we know also that as recent decades, Russia has been pouring military help into the Middle East, into Iraq, into Iran and Syria, which are friendly with Russia. Now, Russian warships have been down into the Mediterranean from the Black Sea there. And they always seem to be a threat against Israel, but not doing anything yet. So we just wonder when it might be. Now, if you look in chapter 38 again, and look at verse 13, you'll find a few named nations there. We're not sure where they are, but Sheba and Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish. Now, Tarshish has always been thought of as being Spain. So in other words, Western Europe are going to have a look at it and says all the young lions, maybe that includes Britain as well, they're going to look at that and just raise the question, have you come to take a plunder? Have you come to invade Israel? We won't do anything, though. Have you gathered your army to take booty, silver, gold, livestock, goods, and so on? But notice verse 14. Therefore, Son of Man prophesying, say to Gog, that leader, cruel leader, thus says the Lord God, on that day when my people Israel dwell safe, and will you not know it? You'll come from your place in the far north, verse 15, many people is with you, all of them riding on horses, a great company and a mighty army. You come against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. It will be in the latter days. So it wasn't soon after Ezekiel, but it's sometime in our future as well. And it says, and all that, I'll bring you against my land in verse 16, so that my nations will know me, when I'm hallowed in you, O God, before their eyes. Doesn't mean to say that God's going to worship. It means that I recognize Almighty God is in action. So I'll just mention that. Now, why should these nations, Russia and a few others, Iran and Libya, these few, going to attack Israel? What for? Well, they're coming down to take a spoil. What's very interesting is this. If I read this for a moment, what sort of spoil is in Israel that these nations may want? Well, there are discovered, the American Geological Survey had discovered some years ago undersea gas fields out in the Mediterranean, and they've estimated that to be 122 trillion cubic feet of gas. And they've also discovered oil, and they say there that there's the equivalent of 4 billion barrels of oil there as well. So is that the spoil? Russia getting short of resources and coming down to take oil and gas by force? Take a spoil? Seems like it. Now, going way back, even more than 50 years ago, when Israel Armed Forces took over the eastern part of Jerusalem, made United Jerusalem. Moshe Dayan, as you know, remember his name, he was the military leader at that time. And he said when they came to the Western Wall, which they took over, of course, even then, 1967, Moshe Dayan, spokesman for Israel, he said, Israel is at war with Russia. Israel is at war with Russia. They recognize the hostility, you see. or there. Now it says about the war of their day, about horses and men and armor and so on coming down. Now whether you take that literally, which is certainly why not, or think of more modern warfare weapons and mobility. But remember that Russia has been very famous for Cossacks, very skilled horsemen. Now, will that be the case? Because they've got to come over the mountains north of Israel, over the mountains and down to attack Israel. Now, that could be the Cossacks by horse. It could be modern warfare. It could be aircraft and the divisions by parachute. We don't know. I wouldn't be at all surprised if it was literally coming down by the horses. That's possible anyway. So it's one of the very few nations in the world that has maintained an excellent and efficient cavalry. Yeah. So we spent some time looking just a few verses of Ezekiel 38. So in that chapter 38, what about the other nations that are joined with it? Well, go to verse 5 again. Persia, well, that's Iran, of course, Ethiopia and Libya. Those are the few nations that will join in with Russia. And, you know, I don't know when it was, a couple of decades ago, the Soviet Union broke down, didn't it? And so we now have Russia as the main force. Well, that's all according to this. Russia is the main force, no longer the Soviet Union. All those former satellite nations under Russia are now Islamic. So you've got these here, Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya in chapter 38, verse 5. And you may find that you've got the old names, Paras, Kush, and Put. And these are the ones that are coming down. Now, Iran, as you know, has been given lots of weaponry by Russia. And Russia, modern Iran, which they feed these four armaments to, Iran is very much hostile to Israel, as you know. So that's important to consider that. Then you've got Ethiopia. Now, we know Ethiopia is in Africa, but there's another Ethiopia as well. And we look at this in the Bible, too, in a moment. Ethiopia, this other nation, is in fact in the area of the Arabian ones, Arabian area. So Persia, Iran, Ethiopia, not the African one, and Libya, well, that's North Africa. That's fairly straightforward. But Ethiopia, the second ally with Russia, where is that? Well, in the Bible, let's go back way into the history books of the Old Testament in 2 Chronicles chapter 21 and verse 16. 2 Chronicles 21 verse 16. And where for you to find it? 2 Chronicles 21 and verse 16. There is time to find it. I've got to find it as well. Chapter 21 of 2 Chronicles and verse 16. And see what it says there. The Lord stirred up Jehoram, the spirits of the Philistines, and the Arabians who were near Ethiopia. So here's a different Ethiopia than the one you and I know in Africa. Here's the Ethiopia very much as a part of Arabia. Interesting, isn't it? The Arabians were near the Ethiopians. That's a different Ethiopia than the one we know of in North Africa. So Ethiopia is a translation of the Hebrew word Cush. And Cush, well, Moses states that there's a land of Cush. And the land of Cush, then, Ethiopia, was not the African one. It was near the Tigris and Euphrates River in what we now know as Iraq. So, problems here? Well, there's this historian, Jewish historian, called Jesenius. He found the answer to the problem. Which Ethiopia is it? He states that the Cushites, the Ethiopians, were black. And they were first found in Arabia, and then they migrated to southern Egypt, modern Ethiopia today. So Libya also is translated from the Hebrew word put or foot. And going back to Genesis 10, third son of Ham, but never mind about all that. But now we've got in chapter 38 of Ezekiel. Let's go back where we were before. Chapter 38 of Ezekiel. And look in verse 6. Chapter 38 and verse 6 again. You've got Gomer and all his troops and the house of Togarmah from the far north, all his troops, more people, many people with you. Gomer and Togarmah. Well, where are they? Well, in verse 6, Gomer and all his bands or peoples. And people who researched this out have said that Gomer and all the peoples have settled north of the Black Sea, spreading themselves southwards and westwards into parts of Europe. And Jesenius speaks of Gomer's hordes as being Ashkenaz. Now, we know that some Orthodox Jews call themselves Ashkenazis. So that name there goes back to another nation, the Sumerians, never mind about that, the ancient people of Gomer. And the modern Jewish people who looked into this have said that is modern Germany. Gomer is Germany. Interesting, isn't it? And Josephus, a historian, called these people regions. And it could be also parts of Poland, Czechoslovakia, certainly Germany. Now, the other one joined here, mentioned here in verse 6, is Togarmah. Now, Togarmah is recognized as Turkey, possibly Armenia with Turkey. That goes back into historical records. This man Jesenius said that some of the sons of Togarmah were found in Armenia. And that's borne out by Armenian literature. We'll go into that now. So in other words, let's think about this. You've got the nations going to come against Israel. And one of them is Togarmah. And then you've got the other nations, Gomer as well, which is Germany, possibly Eastern Europe as well. And they're going to come down. And we find that Gog is a terrible ruler. Well, Russia's not been any friend of people, has it? But Gog is a terrible ruler of the far north, allied with the Persians or Iranians, the Armenians, and the Sumerians against Israel. That's in the Chambers Encyclopedia, by the way. So Ezekiel says now, if you look in Ezekiel 38 and verse 11, you'll find it says here that we'll go up against a land of unwalled villages, go to a land of peaceful people who dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls, having neither bars nor gates. A land of unwalled villages. Doesn't that suggest a peaceful time? Now, we don't know when that is historically in the future, but could it be that if Israel is going to be really safe, you can't say Israel's safe now. We've always got the army on the alert for attack and missiles coming in. But it says Israel is a land of unwalled villages, no need for walls to protect you. Well, that's a bit significant because that's not now. Could it be in the time of the false peace of 3.5 years that Antichrist will sign up with Israel? He's going to sign an agreement for 7 years. Daniel 9. And for the first 3.5 years, they're going to be a peaceful time. Then he suddenly turns nasty on Israel, and the time of Jacob's trouble, as it's called, will then start. It will be any more than that. So we've got Russia tied up with Togarmah, Turkey, or Armenia. And we know that there's a time coming. Interesting. When it says in that verse about Israel being quite safe, the Hebrew word is betach, which means a security through military strength to defend themselves, but they're full of self-confidence and they call it peace. Yeah, Well, there it is. So, of course, in recent years, well, going back 50 years to the end of the Second World War, well, the focus is now centered upon the Middle East. I think we all agree with that. Very much centered from Europe to the Middle East. And we've got here Russia and her, what seems to be, a desire to take the spoil. And the amount of spoil, gas and oil, that Israel has discovered is going to tempt Russia to come down and take the spoil. So we know that Israel will be defended by the Lord. We know that. Now, it's very interesting. Now, I don't know what version of the Bible you've got, and I'll stop here after a while and look at it, continuing on for next year. But in chapter 39, let's go over to chapter 39, and look at verse 2. I'm using the New King James Version, and I'll say why in a moment. Chapter 39, verse 2. You might have the Authorized, which will be slightly different, but I'll read it from the New King James. I will turn you around and lead you on, that's different, bringing you up from the far north and bring you against the mountains of Israel. Verse 3, I'll knock the bow out of your hand and arrows out of your right hand. So Israel is going to be defended by the Lord. Now, looking here, it says, I will turn you around and lead you on. If you've got the Authorized Bible, you'll probably find it there. I will turn you back and leave but 1/6 part of you. If you've got the Authorized, that's what it says. But I'm afraid that's a mistranslation. Sorry about that, but it is. We've got here, I will turn you around and lead you on. It's from the Hebrew verb to lead on, shasha, S-H-A-S-H-A. That should be the word used here to mean to lead you on. But the people who translated the 1611 King James Authorized Bible use a different word. They use a different word. They use the word shesh, S-H-E-S-H, which means 1/6. That's wrong. The Hebrew verb is shasha. Don't ask me why they misread it. I don't know. And that means to lead you on. And the Authorized says shesh, which means 1/6. Now, can you imagine in God dealing with his enemies that he will only judge 5/6 of the people? Wouldn't that be unjust? No, he will destroy all the nations that come against them. In this case, the few named nations. This is not Armageddon. So I'm afraid the Authorized is not correct here. It's not shesh, but shasha. The Lord intends to destroy the whole of the enemies coming in, the whole of the enemy armies. There'd be no justice leaving 1/6 behind, would there? It wouldn't be right. So we have here the threat of Russia and a few nations coming to attack Israel. And we know eventually that when that happens, there'll be those in Israel who become believers. That's after the church is gone, by the way. All this would seem to be. The church is not mentioned in Ezekiel, of course, not in the Old Testament. So the invasion by Russian allies will occur sometime around the Antichrist covenant of peace agreement, which is 7 years. Now, whether it happens just before that or during the peace, we don't know. But it's still future, that's for sure. And here we've got the promise that Israel will be destroying the weapons, burning the weapons, burying the dead. We looked at that just now. So the Lord is going to use Israel from that. And it's very interesting. In chapter 39, I'll just turn to that for a moment. Then we'll have to stop for now. Carry on next week. It says, surely it is coming, verse 8, chapter 39, verse 8. And it shall be done, says the Lord God. This is the day which I have spoken. Now verse 9. Then those who dwell in the city of Israel will go out and set on fire and burn the weapon made of lignocide, not steel. both the shoes and bucklers, bows and arrows, javelins and spears, and they will make fires with them for 7 years. They will not take the wood from the field nor cut down any from the forest, because they make fires from the weapons, and they will plunder those who plundered them, and pillage those who pillaged them, says the Lord God. In other words, they have so much wood there to burn, they won't need to cut any forest down. Well, that's something, isn't it? So there we have it. The Lord says, I'll turn you around and lead you on. That's a correct verb, word. So the Lord intends to destroy the whole of the armies. And that's certainly true. So I think we'll leave it there this week, and we'll continue on next week, because the time is moving on.